invitation song will be number 17. You can turn and have that ready, and we will sing it in 12 minutes and 58 seconds. So, if you've been blessed to be here for the entire meeting, well, you've listened to about 25 sermons that have dealt with the subject of No Longer I. And when Glenn told me when I was going to be speaking, I thought, well, there's just no possibility that I can say something about No Longer I that hasn't already been said, because my brethren are very, very qualified, and they've done an excellent job of bringing everything, all of the scriptures together to show the importance of Jesus Christ and how that we are to sacrifice and to forget about making ourselves first. I want to give you an example this morning of what it's like for the individual that never gets the idea that he is to be a servant, the individual that always thinks of himself first rather than others. So I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes about a very well-known character in the Bible, someone that that people, even that are not religious or that know very little about the scriptures, they know about this person. They don't know his name because it's not given in the scriptures, but I want to talk to you about the thief on the cross. We know very little about this man. He was born sometime very early in the Common Era, either before the birth of Christ or shortly thereafter. And no doubt on the day that he was born, his mother held him in her arms close to her, and she had great hopes and aspirations of what her son was going to grow up to be. She loved him because he was precious and he was innocent and he was a good boy, and she hoped that he would someday grow up to be a farmer or a carpenter or a smith or something of this nature, that he would make a good living, and she hoped that he would find a good woman that would be his wife, and that there would be grandchildren. These were all things that had to have gone through his mother's mind at some time. But as the years went on and he was growing up, there may have been some neglect in parenting, because her little boy was starting to get into trouble when he was just a young man. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 that we need to be careful because evil companions will corrupt good morals. No doubt this boy got into the wrong crowd at some point, and he started doing things that was bringing shame to the family. And it was a very difficult thing, but, you know, bless his heart, he was a good boy, and the society around him, they just didn't understand him, and that they needed to learn to overlook some of the problems because he is a good boy. But his adventures in crime got to be worse and worse, and we're not exactly sure what all that he may have got into in that day and time. Maybe he was one of those robbers that Jesus spoke about that would lay in wait for travelers between Jerusalem and Jericho. Maybe he, eventually reached the point where he not only robbed people but beat them so severely that, just like that man that had been left to die on the Jericho road, somebody did die, whatever the case may have been, eventually his crimes caught up with him. He was arrested by the Roman authorities, and he was found guilty of capital crime. That meant that he was going to be executed. This man that had, at one time, when he was just an infant in arms, and his parents had thought that there would be great and wonderful things that would occur in his life, now they were disappointed because their son was going to be executed. Maybe his parents weren't even there at that time. Maybe he was all alone. He was an angry person, I do know that. He was an individual that the world was against him. The world didn't understand his needs, and he hated people. He had grown up not to be a loving person, but someone that only thought of himself. And the day of his execution was set, and he knew that he was going to die. But even in his execution, he was being overshadowed by someone else that was going to be executed that day, because he knew that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be put to death for his crimes. He didn't like that, and it wasn't something that he was proud of, and he didn't want to die. There was no question in his mind about that. But he was led out, and on that day there was someone that was named Jesus, who the crowd was cheering about his death. And there was a sign that was placed over the cross of this man Jesus, that he was the King of the Jews. The man died that day. He was hanging there on the cross, and he saw, as the soldiers came out to break his legs, that his life was soon snuffed from him. There's things that we can learn from his death, though, and you know, even when we look at the mistakes of others, we learn the things we should avoid, and we can learn how to do good, or we can learn the mistakes that we want to avoid altogether. What are some things that we learn from this man's death? Well, we can learn that it's possible to be near to Jesus and still be lost. This man was near to Jesus. He could look him right in the eyes. He was near to Jesus in that he could converse with him. He was able to talk with Jesus and to express the thoughts that were in his heart and in his mind on that day. But he was still lost. And we have folks that are like that today. Some of you young people that are here that have never committed your lives to serving Jesus Christ, but you've got godly parents. You have parents that take you to church every Lord's Day, and they take you to gospel meetings, and you sit around of an evening and you see that your father is reading his Bible, and you hear your parents as they're offering thanks to God, and they're maybe praying for your soul because they're concerned that their child hasn't obeyed the gospel yet, but you're resenting maybe the pressure that is put on you, or you have some doubts about whether or not you really want to be a Christian. You're close to Jesus because you're close to people that you can see the Savior within their lives. You can see that it's not really mom and dad, but it's Jesus Christ that you see. And maybe you think in your heart, I'd rather see mom and dad. You don't know what you're asking for. I grew up in a home where my parents were not Christians. I can tell you that that is not the way you want to grow up. But be that as it may, maybe you're a spouse here today. There are some good men in this world that they will make sure that their wives always get to church on the Lord's Day. They will take them to meetings. They love their wives, but church is not for them. They will tolerate this. Sometimes they'll sit out in the car. They won't be here in this meeting then today. But sometimes they'll come to church, but they don't want to obey the gospel. But they see the goodness of their wives and how godly that they are. You're close to Jesus, aren't you? But you're still lost, just like this thief was, who was near to Jesus, able to see him literally in the flesh, able to look into his eyes and see the love of the master, able to tell him whatever was on his mind, and yet he was lost. You know, I learned from the thief on the cross that it's even in one's dying moments, some people will deny God and deny the Savior. That was the case with the thief on the cross. In his dying moments, the Bible says that he was mocking God. He was mocking Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 27, the Bible tells us in verse 44, It says that even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him. This man was dying himself, and the Prince of Life, the giver, the maker of men, the individual that had salvation that was extended to the lost and dying human race, was there, and this man was going to reject that. He was going to reject Jesus and mock him in his death. How did he get there? Well, it's because that he had gradually hardened his heart through the years until he no longer was going to be touched even by the love of Jesus Christ. He was going to deny the Master. There's people like that today. They hear gospel sermons and they think, well, I'll do this later. And so every time that one hears a gospel sermon and he's being moved to think, this is something I need to do, but there's some other things I want to do in life, and they walk out those doors, their heart becomes a little bit harder. And the next time they hear a sermon that touches them, and maybe there's a tear that runs down their cheek, and they grab hold of the seat they're in, and they say, I'm not going to go forward yet because I've got some things I want to do in life. I want to enjoy life, and I want to, they're thinking about themselves, and their heart grows a little bit harder till the day comes that even when you're facing death, you think, well, you know, when you were young, you think, when I get older, I'll obey the gospel. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if the word of God is touching your heart, you need to do it today, because if you don't do it today, you'll harden your heart, and eventually you'll become so callous that when death comes knocking at your door, you'll say, I don't care. You can have me. You can do with me what you want to, God. And you'll go out of this world unprepared to meet him. Well, something else that I learned about the thief on the cross, it's possible to ask God to forgive you and to save you and be rejected. People say, what is he talking about? The thief on the cross was saved. Well, I'm talking about the other guy. Notice here in Luke chapter 23, in verse 39, the Bible says, one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you were Christ, save yourself and us. He's asked Jesus, notice the words, save me. He says, if you're the Christ, save me. Why wasn't he saved that day? Well, there's a number of reasons. One would be, he wanted to be saved on his own terms, didn't he? He wasn't willing to say, it's no longer about me. I'm willing to give myself up. I acknowledge you are Lord and Savior. But he wanted to be saved in his own way. And so he was rejected. We've got people like that today. People that will, that they'll say, I want to serve the Lord. The Bible says I need to be baptized. I don't want to be baptized. I want to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I want to do this my way. You want to be like Frank Sinatra and say, I've done it my way. That won't get it. You're going to have to submit your life, and we've had lots of good sermons about submission. You're going to have to submit your life to what does the Bible teach? What does God demand of me? Otherwise, you'll end up like the thief on the cross. Sometimes people will tell me, I want to be saved like the thief on the cross. And I say, that's a painful way to go. There were two men that day. One of them, in his dying hours, he knew what it was all about. The other one never did get it. Which one are you going to be? Are you here today and you're outside of the body of Christ? You're in danger of dying, of being like the thief on the cross. Or you can be like the other thief, the one that said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But if you want to be like him, you've got to submit your life to serving the Lord. Believe that he is the Christ, repent of your sins, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. If you're here and you're subject to that call, or if you're an erring child of God, we invite you to come forward while we sing this song.